You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Bonus. Something extra that is good. B-O-N-U-S. Bonus.
Tonight, I'm gonna have myself a real good time. I feel alive. And the world, I'm turning inside out. Yeah. I'm floating around in ecstasy. So
don't stop me now. Don't stop me.
'Cause I'm having a good time.
What's up, my people? Welcome into another bonus episode of Two Peas. We are official Two Peas today because there's two of us. However, one of them is not Andy. You guys know that Andy doesn't really show up on these bonus episodes unless they are Star Wars related, which we are not today. We are doing a fun one, and I will tell you what it's all about, but I want to introduce my guest as well. I love this guy. He's always been one of my favorites in the podcasting world and just in humanity in general. I just love this guy. Chris Brayton. You guys know him from More Gooder Than. Chris, you're back, man. It has been way too long, brother. How you doing?
Hey, it's me, Andy. It's secretly Andy.
What's up, brother?
It's me, Andy, the other P on the pod. No, hey, how's it going, man? It's me, Chris. I you see what I did there? I tried to fool you because we're recording on Halloween.
No, thanks. My first trick of the season.
First trick, right? I like whoever chooses trick. No one ever does. Trick or treat.
What?
Here's a treat. Yeah, here's a treat.
Why would you choose trick? That's so weird.
Trick is such a bad idea. Yeah. No, thanks for having me on. You know how much I love you, and we got a good one today. I'm excited.
We do, man, and this is your idea, so I really want to thank you. We revamped the show a couple months ago, which I know you're aware of that, but we've been doing top fives, and I want to do bonus episodes, you know, a couple times a month because Andy and I can only get together like once a month right now, and that's just not enough for me, man. I got to talk about all this entertainment stuff, you know. So what we're going to do today, guys, is Bohemian Rhapsody is the new biopic film that's coming out about the band Queen and Freddie Mercury, which is being released this upcoming Friday. So it will already be out when this episode airs. So what we decided to do is we're going to do our top five Queen songs today, and this was Chris's idea. He is a giant Queen fan, is that right, Chris?
Oh yeah, man. Like when we talked about what our list could look at, I said I could do a top 100, honestly.
Yeah.
Like I could do a top 100. My parents were massive Queen fans, and we had the Queen's Greatest Hits LP basically on a loop when we were little kids. Like we would that was like you're a vinyl fan too, so you understand. And like my parents always had something on, but we would always like sneak the Queen Greatest Hits on there, along with like Thriller and James Taylor's Greatest Hits as well too. So those were, and then there was one called Ronco's Funky Favorites that we were big fans of, which had like Monster Mash, Purple People Eater, so many other songs, but those were like our LPs that we liked to listen to. But yeah, Queen was always top of the list. And then as I got older, you know, started digging into the full the full discography of it, of the band, and gosh dang, you would be hard pressed to find a better vocalist than Freddie Mercury. He's incredible. I have not heard good things about the movie.
Me neither.
In general, but I have heard my favorite one that I read was the New York Times, and it said this movie is not good, but that really actually doesn't matter because it's so dang entertaining. They just said like everything was like, they said like the pacing is off, the script is bad, but they said it just doesn't matter because it's Queen songs throughout the entire thing. So who cares?
That's crazy. Yeah. I've seen a few different reviews where they're like, it's all about the music because the movie is no good, you know? So yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, that disappointed me because, you know, the lead actor that plays Freddie Mercury in the trailers just looks amazing. And they usually don't.
Malick. Yeah, he looks incredible.
Malick, yeah. They usually don't throw Oscar nominations when the movie's shit, you know, so I was hoping it would at least stay afloat enough for him to maybe get some notoriety come awards season, because he looks great in that, man.
He'll get a Golden Globe. That's what he'll get a Golden Globe, yeah. And then he'll be happy. So
I feel that. Yeah. So we're going to do our top five Queen songs. Now, you know, Chris is kind of super fan today, so I'm going to go first. I'm a fan. I'm not a super fan. I was making my list, and there's several songs. Like, I have their, like, double album, greatest hits album, and, I was going through it, listening to it a lot, and there's some that are very familiar to me, but that I don't, you know, quote, know by heart. There's probably about 8 to 10 songs that I, like, know by heart that I just love so much and have for several years. So my top five is pretty much locked in, because these are definitely my five favorite, as opposed to Chris, who could kind of shift on a dime and find one that's just equally as lovable to him. So,
like, obviously my top five is going to be very similar to a lot of people's top five, but I had Queen on a loop yesterday because I was getting prepped and, like, okay. And I'm just listening to every song, and you just, it didn't matter. Like, any song that was on, even if it wasn't like one of the singles or one of the big hits or anything, it was still good. Like, you're just like, there's not a, how many bands can you say don't have a bad song? Like, they really don't.
Right, it's crazy, man. So let me shift over here to my list, and if you're good, man, I'm going to go first, because you're the super fan, and I know you can comment on pretty much all of mine. Hopefully I've heard of all of yours, but who knows?
Beauty before age. Beauty before age.
Well, in that case, you should be going, because I'm old as shit.
How old are you?
43. Well, I'm almost 43. I'll be 43 next month.
All right. Well, then you're both beauty and age. So there you go.
Yeah, well,
you are ancient. So
thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I think that's a compliment. All right, look, man. So my number five is a song that I knew. I've known of this song for a long, long time, many years. However, I got reintroduced to it last year. I want to give a shout out to Gidget and Paul, who are both over in Australia. You know both of them from Retro Cinema and from the Countdown over there. So we did our top five, I think it was movie songs we did for that Countdown, and they both named this one, and I kind of got reintroduced to it because I was obviously listening to it when I edited back the episode, and I'm like, man, this is fucking amazing. I haven't heard this in like 20 years. But my number five is from Highlander, Who Wants to Live Forever.
Incredible song. We covered Highlander on More Gooder Than that long ago, and they of course do the soundtrack for it. Well, they do the big songs. They don't do the orchestral works or anything. No, that song is hauntingly beautiful.
It is.
And if you've seen Highlander, like, it fits the movie so perfectly. The vocals on that are amazing, and that's gonna. Yeah, I'm gonna get really repetitive by saying that the vocals.
Yeah,
are
well, I was gonna say, you know, yeah. Most of the Queen songs are, but particularly Who Wants to Live Forever just kind of feels like a Freddie Mercury showcase. You know, he's just so powerful in that song, and his voice is just resonates through. It just pierces your soul. You know.
He's got a couple of those parts that he's just like just belting out noise. He's not actually like singing words, and it's just like, oh, cuts to the gut. Great pick, man.
Awesome, brother. Well, thank you. That shifts us over to you for your number five. So what's your number five Queen song, man?
For me, it is also from the Highlander soundtrack, which is Princes of the Universe.
Yeah.
So okay. It also comes from a Kind of Magic, which is an incredible album too, but it was featured on the Highlander soundtrack as well. You cannot listen to Princes of the Universe without feeling like you could take on the world. Like the entire thing is like, I am immortal. I am the right. blood of kings. And just like, no one can stop me. Nothing can stand up against me. Like, you're just like, right. you're like, yeah, get some. And you're just like, you're just like pumped. And, it's some of their best guitar work. There's some great, solos. There's some really, really underrated operatic parts in that too. We didn't say that we're not picking Bohemian Rhapsody. We didn't.
Oh yeah. You know what? You're funny. I mentioned the movie for the specific reason to say that, but I'll go ahead and interject it now. But right. Chris is right. So we decided kind of together before we recorded that we were not going to include Bohemian Rhapsody, the song, in our top five, because that would have naturally been both of our number ones. It's kind of a beyond obvious pick. But I don't know about you, but it Bohemian Rhapsody is definitely my number one if we were including it.
Totally, man. Like, it's a song that transcends the decades. Yeah, and so anyway, yeah. So but so we're saying that in Princes of the Universe, there's some really great operatic parts in there as well that I think are a lot of fun. Mm. And my oldest daughter, it's her favorite Queen song, and so she her little sweet little voice. She's almost eight, but just like.
just That's singing awesome,
like
man.
Princes of the Universe, and she's just like singing it and fighting we're free, and she's just like it's amazing. So she feels empowered by the song as well. So
yeah, I'd love to see a video of that on social media or something. I bet that's
if she was home right now, I would have her sing it, and she would belt it. She's like me. She has absolutely no like stage fright or shame in any way. So she's just ready to go.
That's awesome, man. All right, well, good pick there, brother. That's one that I'm familiar with, but I got to go back and listen to. So I'm excited about going back and revisiting that one as well. So my number four is a fun one. I don't know if it was written to be a fun one, but I have a little anecdote as to why it's become a fun song for me, and one of the ones I know just the best. I hear it almost every weekend. But it's a song called Another One Bites the Dust.
Oh, yeah, man. One of the best bass lines ever in a song.
I love that song.
For sure.
I love that song. The reason that's become kind of a fun jam for me is because, you know, I DJ weddings, Chris, and a lot of people know that listen to the show. And this one is often one that I will choose to play during the groom tossing the garter. when all the single guys come out on the dance floor, I throw on Another One Bites the Dust, you know, and they get a kick out of it.
That's both sad and hilarious simultaneously.
You're right. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip to the sound of the beat, yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone, and another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey, hey, I'm gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust.
But
I hear that song all the time, and it never gets old, man. I mean, I love it. It's just like you said, it's a great beat. You know, his voice is not as powerful in this song. It's a little bit more about the rhythm of the tune, but just a great song, man. And I've been listening to that one for a long time, week in and week out, and it never gets old.
It gets you going, man. Like just that beat, the drums are just doo, 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 doo. Yeah, it's a really powerful song. I absolutely love it. When I first was learning bass, because I play bass, that was the first song that like I would practice to get my fingering down and everything. So it's a great practice song, and you immediately know what it is when you hear it. There's not every song can have the bass line tell you what the song is, and that one is great pick, man. I love that. When I did my garter toss at my wedding, I shot it like a rubber band, but I shot it behind me and it went straight up instead of going back towards the groomsmen. And they all were ultra competitive, so they were trying to get it. They tackled me to get it, and so I almost went into my own cake at my own wedding, inches away from getting it. My little brother ended up getting the garter and everything, but anyway, yeah. So
That's hilarious.
That actually would have been incredibly appropriate for me to because I did bite the dust. So
yeah, yeah. Hard. Yeah, I was gonna say you lived that, brother. You lived it.
I lived it. My number four is definitely a fun one, but it was one of our favorites growing up, and so it has a special little place in my heart. Now as an older gentleman, it definitely is funny that it was one of my favorites as a kid, but it is Fat Bottomed Girls. Bottomed Girls, yeah. From the Jazz album in 1978.
Oh, you're gonna take me home tonight. Oh, down beside that red firelight. Oh, you're gonna let it all hang out. Fat Bottomed Girls, you make the rocking world go round.
I love it, man. It is a hilarious song, and it's similar to Sir Mix-a-Lot's I Like Big Butts. You know, it gets the party going. Mm-hmm. It's got that incredible drum part at the end. You know, it's one of those iconic drum sets, and it's just fun to think about Freddie Mercury just strutting his stuff up on stage, singing right. It to the crowd. You know it gets the crowd going.
I've been singing with my band, cross the wire, across the land. I've seen every blue-eyed Fuzzy on the way. Got their beauty and their style, we're kind of smooth after a while. Take me to their bloody ladies every time. Come on! Oh, won't you take me home tonight?
It might not be like one of their most technical songs, but my gosh, is it so much fun. It also references bicycle race, you know, like they're like two kind of like paired songs with each other, you know, get on your bikes and ride. And then later on in Bicycle Race, they mention that the Fat Bottomed Girls are there. But anyway, mm-hmm. I love it, man. It gets the party. It's a lot of fun, man. Yeah. It might not be one of the most like powerful songs that they sing, but
no,
gosh,
but it's
dang,
a good time.
I have a good time listening to it. Yeah.
And like you said, it's cool to sit here in 2018 and kind of think of Freddie Mercury and the band when that song was written, you know, when they were performing that too.
Right.
I'm sure they were having a blast going through that process. All right. So good pick there. So now we'll shift over and do my number three, Chris Brayton. So my number three, you know, my top three are kind of interchangeable, which I knew was going to be a problem. And that's probably a problem.
Absolutely.
A whole list.
These could almost be in no particular order is almost how.
Right. 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 Yeah. So my number three is probably the most powerful one to me in terms of the lyrics. And when I hear Freddie perform it, or even when I watch him perform it, which I did yesterday when I was looking at some of these again and revisiting them. But it's not like one that I go back to and listen to all the time, which my top two are. I hear those. I hear them all the time. I play them all the time. I was talking about weddings. You know, my top two are heard at weddings all the time.
Absolutely.
But number three, not so much, but lyrically and just his performance, and even when he performed it live, the most powerful to me. In other words, I get the most amount of goosebumps when I hear this one. But my number three is The Show Must Go On.
Really? That's so interesting. I mean, great song, for sure. Yep. I think that's a great pick, man. Like, so...
I think what did it for me was recently when Elton John, well, not recently, but, you know, a while back, when Elton John performed it with them at, they revisited, I believe, Wembley, and Elton John played the song with Queen.
Oh,
and goodness. And it was just, I was just like, holy shit, man, you know, to be in that seat that Freddie had been in and to be singing his lyrics. And I mean, Elton's, you know, in front of what seemed like a million people, and he's getting emotional, and you know, the lyrics, you know, empty spaces, what are we living for? Abandoned places, I guess we know the score.
Empty spaces, what are we living for? Abandoned places, I guess we know the score. On and on, does anybody know what we are looking for? Another hero, another man. Behind the curtain, in the pantomime, hold the line. Does anybody want to take it anymore? The show must go on.
You know, and no matter what and how melancholy these verses are, the chorus is the show must go on. You know, inside my heart is breaking, but my smile must stay on. I mean, that's that's deep shit, brother. You know, he was living in the spotlight, and this song is about that. And obviously, what befell him, and I'm assuming that Freddie wrote this based on what was happening in his personal life. So it's just, to me, it's a deep tune, and it really gives me the chills when I hear it, man. Whether it's the Elton performance or whether it's the original by Queen, it gives me chills.
Oh, that's amazing, man. Yeah, it's a great song. And that's the power of his lyrics, the power of his voice, the power of the band. Mm-hmm. I mean, just it doesn't matter. I feel like Queen is timeless with the way that they play, because they have such a unique style of like doing macho songs, but also having that incredible, like almost flamboyant stage presence too at the same time. Like they just didn't matter. It was just so gender fluid the way that their music is played too. It's just, it's amazing. I love it. Anybody can see, like, doesn't man or woman sings these songs, you know, the lyrics mean something to everybody. It's so amazing. I love that pick, man. That's a great
that
pick.
That one really speaks to me personally. And of course, you know, because you listen to us weekly, but when I make these lists, I mean, they're personal lists. I'm not making the top five, you know, biggest Queen hits or anything like that. These are just my five that I would put on a playlist. And that one for me is definitely one of my favorites. So The Show Must Go On is my number three. And with that being said, The Show Must Go On. So we're back around to you, brother. What do you got for your number three?
I'm going to choose Save Me from The Game in 1980. Mm-hmm. I love this song. This is one that's not on my first one that was not on the Greatest Hits album. This is a recent love for me in the last like 5-10 years as I've gotten older. But Save Me is just such an incredible song. It starts off so quiet. It's just him and the piano, and his voice is actually pretty soft in it. And then it just rises when it hits the chorus, when they all come in together singing as one to save me. And it's just like, I'm naked and I'm far from home. It just speaks on a different level. Gives me chills every time. Whenever the full band comes in to sing, it's just amazing. I absolutely love it.
That's a good tune, man. That's our first crossover. Like overall, that one's on my honorable mentions. Yeah. Not in my five, but I do love that tune. And when I was listening to it last night, I was like, yeah, man, this is good. I remember this one. But yeah, great song, man. I love that pick. So, like I said, my number two are commonplace. I mean, they're, you know, I would say, you know, crossed over mainstream hits for Queen, I'm going basic for my top two, but I love these songs so much, man. They just make me feel good, and even feel good songs of Queen's I get chills. You know, so even like kind of like poppy tunes I get chills, which is crazy. But my number two, you know, some people would argue, and I read online last night that, you know, this is a little bit of an experimental phase when they made this album, but I'm glad they did. It was almost like Queen and Elvis had a kid or something, and they made this album. But the song that I'm going to pick off of it at number two is Crazy Little Thing Called Love.
I
love that song.
It's a really fun one. It's got that country feel to it. It's mm-hmm, got that the country bass line. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really fun.
And
it's
a
great song.
And if you think about it, it was ahead of its time, really, because this is a rockabilly song, you know, and rockabilly didn't come along until years later, really. You know, you had kind of the renaissance with Elvis, and then it kind of went away, and then it came back in the 80s. But, you know, it was a little bit ahead of its time, and he was experimenting, and he wanted to do his kind of country thing. And this song is so much fun to me, man. It's a short one. It's like 2.5 minutes long, and the whole thing is just like you could just snap your fingers, just kind of bounce to it. You know this thing? Call love.
Call love.
Yeah, and I'm a big Elvis fan too, which might play into that a little bit, because it does sound a little bit like that. But crazy little thing called love, man, I love it.
It's a great pick. There's a movie called Crazy Little Thing Called Love. It's with Dermot Mulroney and River Phoenix.
I was talking to my wife about that, because we went to Nashville recently, and they filmed there at the Bluebird Cafe, which is where all the performers were performing at. And I asked her, because I didn't remember the movie that well, and I'm like, did the Queen song, was it featured in that movie? And she said no. She said it was actually a Johnny Cash song that was featured in it, which is called A Thing Called Love, not Crazy Little Thing Called Love. So I guess the Queen song is actually not in that movie, but I do think of that movie too.
Is it called A Thing Called Love, or is it called A Crazy Little Thing Called Love?
I think it's called the movie. It's called The Thing Called Love.
Okay, so it has nothing to do with Queen.
No, it doesn't. Right, but it's so funny that you said that, because I think of that movie every time too. And I think because in the movie are like rockabilly performers, you know, so
we can stand here in our wrongness is what it is.
But it's so funny that you said that. I wasn't going to mention it because I was wrong, but I always think of that movie though. But yeah, so that's my number two. Gosh, brother. Dang. So what's your runner up?
My runner up. So it's literally, so I'm not picking Under Pressure, even though I think it's a lot of people's number one, number two, just because I can't have that song without Bowie. And to me, so like, I just kind of excluded it, even though it is technically a Queen song. It's Bowie and it's Bowie and Queen, and you can't do, so I went pure Queen, for mine and everything. Okay. If you decide to go with that song, then I will not shame you.
We'll find out in a minute.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But I'm going to pick, Killer Queen. She keeps him away, Shonda, in a pretty cabinet. Anthony Cake, she says, just like Marie Antoinette. I think it is such a fun song. It's definitely one of their hits, of course. So I'm not going deep on it, but giving the people what they want. But I have always loved that song. And it's got some great guitar in it, as well as fun vocals. It's basically like a nonsense song too, in my opinion. It's just talking about the weirdest thing. Like, what are you even talking about? So this woman's gonna kill you. Got it. Okay. And and I for the longest time, until the internet came around, I had no idea what certain parts of the song said. But I didn't know what gelatine was. Like, it was they say gunpowder and gelatine. I'm like, gelatine?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, so when the internet came around, that was literally one of the first things I ever looked up. What words are say? Because our album didn't have the liner notes, so it didn't have the lyrics to it. So anyway, I don't know. Anyway, Killer Queen, great song.
That's a good one, man. That's another one that's on my honorable mentions. I love that song. Mm-hmm. That was close to being my number five, actually. That would probably be what would be considered my number six on this list. Great song, man. Good pick. So I don't know that I should give my number one now that you just like talk shit about it, but
I
should have known. I always get cliche on these on the music ones, but I don't know, man. I you know, whether it's a guilty pleasure or whether it just doesn't get old for me. I don't know, man. But you're right though. David Bowie being a part of Under Pressure probably has something to do with it being my number one, but that is my number one. Baby. You know, it is a Queen song. It was on their album. Bowie's on there. Absolutely love David Bowie, so that's not going to hurt the cause. It's going to help it. But, you know, I mean, we actually, you know what? It's funny. The last time you and I think, were on a show together was with Josh, and we talked about Ice Ice Baby. Remember that? We were doing...
Yeah, that's right.
One-hit wonders, and we talked about them kind of ripping off this beat, but it's such a great beat, man, and it's... You got Bowie, you got Queen. I mean, what else? I mean, what else is there? I mean, the only thing missing is Prince on guitar. You know what I mean? It's like, this is like a fucking symbiotic experience, you know? So it's a great song. It's a crossover hit on top of being kind of a staple Queen tune. And I love it, man. I mean, I hear it all the time. I throw it on. If I'm ever making like a playlist on Spotify or whatever to listen in my car, I do that like once a month. This one will often sneak on there because I never get tired of it. It always makes me feel great. Puts me in a good mood. It's been featured in a lot of movies too, which there's one that stands out, which you're going to think is weird, but have you ever seen a movie called The Girl Next Door with Alicia Cuthbert? Ever seen that?
I know of it. I have not seen it. That's the she's the porn star, right?
She's like a porn star, right? Yeah. She lives next door to this kid and they end up falling in love or whatever. That's kind of it's a romantic comedy, but it's a good movie. But there's a scene in this movie that in the beginning, when it's kind of like doing a montage of the characters, and they're graduating high school and they're all kind of moving on in life, and this song is playing, and I don't know why, but that was in the early 2000s. Yeah, it was in the early 2000s, so it's kind of a weird thing to associate with the song, but that was when it kind of like was reborn for me about 15 years ago or so, and ever since then I just love the song, and I kind of picture that scene. Yeah,
it's great. I mean, it's a great song. It goes with anything. One of my favorite covers was Ben Harper and Jack Black covered this song, and it was really good. They did a really, really good job. Ben Harper did Freddie Mercury's lines. Jack Black did Bowie's
I'll have to listen to that. Was that recorded, or was that just like a live thing that's on YouTube?
It was a live thing. Yeah, I'm sure you can find it. But yeah, it's an interesting cover because you'd be hard pressed to ever find two more iconic singers and songwriter than Bowie and Freddie Mercury. I mean, that's
right. It's crazy.
They are icons of the, you know, top 10 rock stars of all time for most people. I mean, for both, for sure. They both embody their stage presence and everything too. So
So Jack
Black and Ben Harper are not that. They are not that. So
definitely not. Definitely not. But it sounds like they carried the tune, which is cool. I'll have to look that up. You know, my wife's expecting another child. We're due in March, and Bowie was actually one of the names that I was playing around with, but she already shot it down. So I was gonna name my little boy Bowie.
You gotta get it. If I had another kid, if I had another boy, I would name him Gerald after you.
No, that's good. I'm not gonna do that though. But hey, you can
guess. But I had a vasectomy, so we're not having any more kids.
So you're not under pressure for that anymore. See what I did there?
I am not under pressure.
All right. Give us your number one, Chris Brayton. You had a good list over there, man. You got a couple I'm going to have to look up, but you got a good list going. What's your number one, bro?
Yeah, it's tough, man, because I could go with a whole bunch of different ones here. I'd gone back and forth between Somebody to Love. I mean, you have so many.
Yeah, and we'll do honorable mentions in a minute, too.
Yeah, but I'm going to go with We Are the Champions. Time after time, I've done my sentence, but committed no crime. And bad mistakes, I've made a few. I've had my shells and kicked in my face, but I've come through. And I need to go on. We Are the Champions. It hits home to a lot of people. I mean, and then you usually pair it with We Will Rock You. They're almost they're almost one song. Mm-hmm. You know, they're always played back to back.
Yeah.
So
same kind of concept, right?
yeah, you can say it's one song, you can say it's two songs. I mean, it is, they are two songs, but you never play them. So it's like this big 8 minute long anthem that you're having. But We Are the Champions, incredible vocals. It just is similar to me in the Princes of the Universe, where like you're just like, so many of Freddie Mercury's songs are just like, I am the man. I am owning what I'm doing. I'm at the top of my game. And I think that this song is like that. It's like they don't owe anything to anybody. They've done it themselves. Like they're. And I think it just kind of encapsulates Queen as a whole. Just that, yeah, you guys did it. You were out there. You were different than other people. And you like, even just like with Bohemian Rhapsody being like 30 minutes long, like, no, we're going to do it. We're going to do this song, and we're going to do it because we like it. And Freddie Mercury pushed for it. And so I think We Are the Champions is just encapsulates the entire Queen experience to me. But yeah, so you can even couple that with We Will Rock You, but We Will Rock You. I don't love it, but I love We Are the Champions.
Yeah. That's funny that you said that. I don't really quote love We Will Rock You either, but I feel like that one really, really fits, you know, like sporting events and overcoming the odds and, you know.
Yeah.
So depending on the setting that it's in, I can definitely get into that tune. But We Are the Champions could really fit in any scenario, regardless of sports or whatever. So
absolutely,
just in life. But yeah, that's a good tune, and that's another one that's, you know, kind of a crossover hit. So I wasn't the only one that threw one of those at number one. So thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Yeah, there you go.
So let's do a quick recap. My top five. Here we go. My number five was Who Wants to Live Forever? There can only be one Highlander. My number four.
There can be only one.
My number four was Another One Bites the Dust. Number three was The Show Must Go On. Check out that Elton John version, Chris, if you haven't seen it.
I will, totally.
My number two was Crazy Little Thing Called Love. And my number one was, of course, Under Pressure with David Bowie. What was your top five, buddy?
Yeah, it was the same list. No, it's Princes of the Universe, Fat Bottom Girls, Save Me, Killer Queen, and We Are the Champions.
There you go. Yeah, that is a good list, man. That is a good list.
And in terms of like honorable mentions, yeah.
Let's give a few of those. Yeah, you want to go
your,
first?
Your entire list could be honorable mentions for me as well.
Why don't you let me give mine first? Because I feel like you're going to have
mine too.
I've only got like two or three. So you mentioned a couple of mine already. You mentioned Save Me and Killer Queen. Mm-hmm. I also had Don't Stop Me Now. Good
great
tune.
Song.
I had You're My Best Friend. I love that one. That's kind of another kind of poppy one, but I like that song. I Want It All. Love that song. I put Hammer to Fall on here. That's a rocking one, man. That's one of Queen's hardest rock tunes.
Oh, it's so good. Like up there with like Brighton Rock and stuff too.
Hammer to Fall. And then the only other honorable that I have listed here is Flash, the theme from Flash. That's right.
The universe. That's so good.
It's perfect for Queen, man. It's just a perfect theme song for them to have done. You want to shout out a few that didn't get mentioned, Chris?
Yeah, man. And I think that's so good that you mentioned about Flash too, because like Queen, and to me, is so epic in the way that they do things, with the way it, to me, the like torchbearer of Queen to me is Muse, the band Muse, in that they also do these big operatic, larger than life songs and everything, with incredibly talented singer, incredibly talented band and everything too. So like Muse and Queen to me are Muse owes a lot to Queen, and Muse is one of my all time favorite bands. I absolutely knew that. Yeah, so Bicycle Race is one. I've always loved it. Then you got I Want to Break Free. Radio Gaga was one that a lot of people I know on Twitter were really pushing for from their Live Aid. Basically, yeah, your entire list, Somebody to Love. Let's see. There's a couple other ones. Flash's theme. So funny.
That's good, right?
And also, huge shout out to their album covers, because their album covers were all bonkers.
They did do that over the top too.
There was everything. News of the World has one of hands down the coolest album covers in the world, with the robot holding in the hand and everything. It's just super cool.
Let's see what you think about some of these tunes that the fans mentioned online. You into that?
Absolutely.
So over on Twitter, we already mentioned Paul from the Countdown. So let's start with him now. He said, instantly coming to mind is Don't Stop Me Now, Under Pressure, and Bohemian Rhapsody. That's a powerhouse trio right there, man.
Oh, man. That, amazing.
You can't go wrong.
Paul always again, has good taste.
Yeah. Again, we discluded Bohemian Rhapsody to try to have a little more variety, which I think we did pretty good.
I think we did great.
So we also mentioned Gidget, and she said it was a Sophie's choice, kind of like you, but she said she'll take a bullet and pick Who Wants to Live Forever.
Oh, yeah,
Brendan over at In Session Film. I love those guys. They're in your network, right, Chris?
They're in, Podfix Brothers, yeah. They're part of the Podfix Network, yeah.
So Brendan Cassidy of In Session Film over on Twitter said Son and Daughter.
Yeah, great song. His list is insane. Like he has the deepest of deep cuts for sure.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't know a whole lot of these. Ogre Battle, The March of the Black Queen, Stone Cold Crazy, Lily of the Valley, Fight from the Inside, It's Late, Dragon Attack, and Breakthrough. The only one on his list I've heard of is Killer Queen.
He is obviously number one fan for sure, because that is those are all super deep cuts. Incredible songs, every single one of them. And so like, there's not a bad one in there. But yeah, none of those are the big hits or
the
big anthems. Yeah, no, but I saw that list on Twitter too. I'm like, man, hardcore.
Yeah, it's
hardcore.
When I saw that, I was like, yeah, he's a fan. Let's see. Mike Marlowe over there on Twitter said, too many iconic rock songs to list, but a couple underrated ones are One Vision and Stone Cold Crazy. So that's the second mention for Stone Cold Crazy.
Yeah, great song. Great. Yeah. And that's the thing about Queen is that you could just be a casual fan and be super happy. Like you could just be, but then also once you start getting into the deep cuts too. But like, it's just hard to, the reason that I still even just used like most of the well-known ones is those well-known ones are all still incredible. They're still all incredible songs. Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
And just a couple more. I got a little love for Hammer to Fall from Simon Pickering over on Twitter. He said Hammer to Fall, but he put the piano and Headbangers mix.
Interesting. I'll have to look at that. No, Hammer to Fall, I mean, that gets your heart pumping. That's a hardcore song. Yeah, I love it.
And then the last one I'll mention is from Holmes Movies over there on Twitter. They said Radio Gaga, which I believe is a live track. It's a good tune. And then
it's such an interesting song to hear live, because it's kind of a goofy song. But it's really good. And man, does it get the crowd. You hear the crowd. They are into it.
Yeah. And then he also said, Don't Stop Me Now, I Want to Break Free, These Are the Days of Our Lives, and Under Pressure. So good list there from everybody over on Twitter. Thank you so much for your feedback. We kind of threw this recording up last minute. Chris Brayton, you're the man, bro. Are you going to go see Bohemian Rhapsody in theaters?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be a fun too. Date night movie. Regardless of whether it's going to be like an Oscar worthy movie, I don't really care. I've heard nothing but good things about Malick's performance as Freddie Mercury. Same. And that's all that matters. You know what I mean? That's all that matters to me.
Yeah, you got to capture that.
Their story is so crazy and just nuts that like, I already know what's going to happen. I just want to see the performance. That's it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I will see it though. Yeah. And, I don't know if I'll be there opening night, but, it'll be a date night movie for sure.
Yeah. I'm probably going to go check it out, with my wife too, cause she's a Queen fan as well. So we're going to check that one out. I hated seeing the reviews and the Rotten Tomatoes score, cause I wanted it to be so noteworthy, and I hope that he does get some recognition for his performance, though. So, Chris, why don't you give everyone a quick direction where they can find you online, brother? More Gooder Than, or whatever you want to point them to over there.
Yeah, I co-host More Gooder Than with my buds Corey and Donnie. We come out every Wednesday, available on all podcatchers, podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, wherever they are. You can find us. We're most active on Twitter, which is at MGT Podcast. We're on Facebook and Instagram, but most active on Twitter. And then you can also go to our website, mgtpodcast.com. And like you mentioned before, we are members of the Podfix Network of podcasts, and you can check out our full lineup there.
I love you guys, man. You know that. I'm a patron, and I listen all the time. And I know that I got your new one queued up, actually, because I know you guys did Blair Witch and Paranormal Activity. Yeah.
Yeah, so, we're trying to be cool like all the other kids with their horror stuff.
Well, I love both those movies. You've probably heard me gushing over Blair Witch this month because we've been doing some horror episodes too. But I love both those found footage flicks. So I'm looking forward to kind of hearing the battle there and seeing what shakes out. But
cool. More, yeah.
Yeah, More Gooder Than's a great show. Make sure you guys check it out if you haven't already. I'll put all his info in the show notes for you for easy access. And you can also find all our stuff there. Please follow us on our Facebook fan community. That's where we are trying to interact with our fans the most, and we appreciate all the feedback, guys. So that's it for this top five for this bonus episode. Chris, it was your idea, man. You are, I was going to say my queen, but that doesn't make any sense. You're my king. You're
I'll
my king.
It. No, I'll accept it. In honor of Freddie, I will accept queen.
So. You're the man, brother. You're the man. This will be up in a few days, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. Chris, as always, thank you, brother. That's it for this bonus episode of Two Peas. We'll see you guys later.
Later.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.